Hey, welcome back to Crimes and Closets. This is Christy in my closet in St. Louis.
And this is Beth in my closet in North Carolina.
Happy Monday, Beth.
Happy Monday, Christy. It's 311.
Oh!
It's my favorite band. So today's 311 day.
Oh, they have a day? Is that the day? I mean, I know that would be the day, but do the, like, they actually like call it that?
Yeah.
Like 311 day?
Yeah, they always like play a concert in Las Vegas on 311 day.
Is it National 311 day?
Yep.
Is it on the actual national calendars?
I don't think so.
Okay, got it.
I think it's a fan 311 day.
Right. Well, I didn't know. I mean, because who knows? Maybe they make one like that, especially with like a band that has that specific.
You know,
yeah. Could fit in. Who knows? Anyway.
Okay, well, there's that. No one, everyone's probably like, there's a band called 311. Yes, and they're great, okay?
And Beth came here for a concert.
Yeah, and it was awesome, and you liked it.
I did like it.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so happy Monday to all of you guys. Happy spring. Thank God.
Oh, I know. And we like, went forward with our time. We sprung ahead.
Oh, yeah. I am on the day that this drops. I'm in Charleston, South Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah. So we actually have longer days now. They're sunnier longer.
So nice.
Yeah.
Perfect timing.
I know. I need it. It's been nice that, like, it's noticeably different, you know, because we have schedules. Like, every Monday we do this with whatever extracurriculars. And just like last week, I think it was, I noticed when we pulled out the driveway, I was like, has it always been bright out when we've left?
Yeah.
And like, the middle guy's like, no. And I'm like, wow. So it's already like starting to kind of like slowly get to that point. And
yeah,
it's really to that point. Like it'll be like 6 something or something like that when it's dark.
Amazing. Did you get your pool open?
Yes. My pool was opened on last whatever day it was, Wednesday.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so.
So nice. You got to send me a picture. I don't have a picture yet.
Well, yes, I will, because I need to wait for it to be, like, totally clear. Because, you know, you open it, okay. It's kind of grimy and whatever. But it should be pretty good. And then we're going to leave and go on vacation, and it's going to get grimy again. I got to call, actually, and make sure I hire somebody to come.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Got to keep up with that pool maintenance.
Yeah. So, anyway, but.
So I wanted to tell you about, so we watched Love is Blind.
Mm-hmm.
It's a show on Netflix. If you guys watch it, and the new season is out and we're at the weddings, we've had the weddings. So we know.
Yes.
What happened? This radio show, my kids and I listen to a radio, local radio show every single morning. And they also watch Love is Blind. There's three of them, two guys and a girl. And they make fun of themselves because they watch the show because it really is stupid.
I mean, it's a fascinating experiment.
It is.
I will say when the first season, because it was, now we're on season 6. So the very first season I ever watched, I was like, this is fascinating. I can get into this. But didn't think that they would keep going because I was like, they'll probably find out. Not really.
Right.
Love isn't blind.
Right.
But so I'm shocked that it's 6. Although I'm not shocked. Shocked, but not shocked that it's 6 right. seasons in. But
okay. So they were talking about why it is that people like the show, like what it is about it that is so fascinating and draws it in. And one of the guys, one of the like DJ hosts or whatever on the radio show was like, it's like a Diet Coke. You're addicted to Diet Coke because of aspartame. Because it's like the fake sugar. So he's like, that's what it is. He's like, Love is Blind is a Diet Coke. And the drama is the aspartame. It's like fake drama. For some reason, you're so addicted to it. And I was like, I feel that. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, because I
Brian
can't look away.
From 101.5. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like,
I literally can't
so
look
addicted
away.
To the drama, but I know it's not real.
Right. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yes. So Love is Blind is a Diet Coke.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's also like your Polar Pop.
It's also, yeah, I'm breaking my addiction to that, guys. Breaking it. Right here, right now. You've heard
no,
it.
No, you're not.
No, I really am. Because I think, well, number one, they're getting rid of it.
What?
Yeah. As of March 31st, no more Sip and Save.
Okay.
So they're only doing like a whole inner circle, like new rewards program.
They're losing money on all you people.
Me specifically.
Yeah.
doing a whole inner circle rewards program. And apparently you'll still get like free sodas here and there. I mean, not like it's that expensive. Also go in and get one for $1.19. But like,
right.
I do think that it's probably better that I don't have that giant soda every single day. Like probably. I did a cleanse last week and I did part of a cleanse last week. And I know that some of my like success was that I was not drinking a giant Diet Coke or not Diet Coke, but Coke Zero mm-hmm. every single day.
Right.
So I'll still go get one, but I'm not going to go every day anymore. Like right. I've decided that, but yes. Yes. So it is like my Coke Zero.
Moderation is good.
But yes. But I was going to say, you say it's like a Diet Coke because it's the fake drama. And I say it's like a plumber's crack. Like you just can't, like you shouldn't stare at it. But you do because you're like, his crack is hanging out. Look. And you point it out to everyone. Look. And you can't look away even though you want to. That's what Love yeah. is Blind is for me.
Man. So,
we've got analogies for days, people.
I was just getting ready to say, I know there's probably other people who are dying to give us their analogies. And if you guys have one, please, please yeah. come find us and write us in. And if you yeah. watch Love is Blind, what do you compare it to? Diet right. Coke or a butt crack?
Yeah, exactly. Two very different things. I will say, on just one more note of this Love is Blind, my favorite couple ever on this show is on this season.
Yeah.
And I think
I know who it is.
One of the strongest couples ever in life.
Yeah.
Like, if they don't make it, I'll be very yeah. upset and shocked because I just feel like they are it. They are it. Love was blind for them.
Yeah.
And they're it.
They're cute. Yeah. Yeah. So. I agree. I know exactly who you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And I totally agree with you. Yeah. Cuties.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Anyway. Well,
this is what we watch when we don't have to do crime. Because.
Well, yeah. We need to take a break from it. We're like, that's right. Oh, let's watch someone's drama unfold. Yeah.
Speaking of cleanses, this is our yeah. brain cleanse.
Exactly. I'm not watching someone get murdered or.
Nope.
Talking nope, about just it, so
becoming addicted to butt cracks and coke.
Mm-hmm. I know you meant
somebody
Diet Coke,
flip but that out with no context and post it somewhere.
I know. That's what I was thinking. I'm like, wow. If anybody fast forwarded and they just heard that part,
they would anyway. Rewind and be like, "What in the heck is she talking about?"
Anyway, all right. Well, I think that's enough about Love is Blind, but I do have another crime for you.
Okay.
Okay. So this case was sent to us from our friend Trish, who is listening to us in Australia.
Oh, Trish. I apologize yes. in advance. I do not do an Australian accent, but I cannot help myself. But I'm not good at them.
Okay, my little, mate. Okay. Put another shrimp on the barbie. Nope. See, that was not even close. My littlest is currently really into doing a British accent. So he walks around saying, water, water. I can't do it. Oh, I can't do man. That either.
You got to have him call me.
Me I will.
I could go all day. I drive my kids crazy. They start with a British accent, and then I jump in, and I can't stop. And they're like, Mom, I'm putting them to bed and still doing it.
I picked him up from school yesterday, and his assistant principal was walking out with him, and she was like, just say it one more time. Say it one
more time. It's so cute. I just love a Brit.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, also, another side note here. We're just like side noting right now. I'm really bummed because we're heading to Australia this spring and mm-hmm. New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to be going all that way and not able to like hop on over to Australia, which I'm really bummed about because if you're going to go that far, you really mm-hmm. should see both. But just the timing isn't good and school and blah, blah, yeah. blah. So
New Zealand's awesome, though.
Yes. I'm super excited about it. I'm not, like, complaining, but I'm just like, man, if we could just stay a little bit longer and jump over to Australia and say hi to Trish.
Yeah. So. Oh, well, it'll have to be this way. Hi, Trish.
Yes. Yes. So anyways, okay. So she sent us a case and she actually went to school with one of the people involved.
Okay.
So we, as I said, we are traveling down under. We are heading to Mount Gambier, which is in southern Australia or South Australia. And it's just on the border of Victoria. So you know how it's like mm-hmm. split up into like, I don't know if they call them states or whatever, but like Victoria is one and South Australia. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so this is like on the border of the two. Glenys Childs is her name. Glenys.
It's Glenys.
Yes.
That is pretty.
I like it. She met Neil Hayward in the early to mid 1980s, and the two fell in love and had two children together, Thomas and Matthew. There isn't a whole lot of information about, like, I couldn't even find a find your grave or whatever to, like, find out her. Mm-hmm. I mean, I probably could have done some sort of search to find a birth record, but I would have had to pay for it. You know how that is. So,
mm-hmm. anyway, how it is.
Okay. The two fell in love and had two children, like I said, Thomas and Matthew. Although they never officially married, Glenys took Neil's last name. And they had what is called a de facto relationship, which is basically what we call a common law marriage. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's not always recognized outside of your state or maybe country for that matter. But according to Australian Family Law Act of 1975, you are in a de facto, sorry, that is a really hard word for some reason, relationship. If you have been in a relationship for 2 years or if there's a child involved, or if the parties have made substantial financial or non-financial contributions to the other's personal property.
Okay.
And in this case, it was basically all of those things were mm-hmm. relevant for her.
De facto marriage is not very nice.
No.
Like, I don't think it sounds very nice. Common law marriage is, like, even nicer than de facto.
Well, it is, but it's not nice. Like, it doesn't – I don't know, like
– We should come up with a different term because it's not any less – like
right.
of a commitment, in my opinion, but okay.
Right. No, I agree with you. I agree with you, but yeah. Okay. So the two were together for 20 years, two children, and they had started and maintained a successful dairy farm in Mount Gambier. So
they had some cows.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's my dream, Glenys.
You know, oh, I did see a commercial the other day or something on Instagram about how to like adopt a cow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was going to send it to you, but I forgot.
Oh,
I'll find it. Anyway, okay. Glenys' brother Richard and sister Jeanette would describe her as jovial and friendly. I don't hear the word jovial that much. After several years in her relationship with Neil, this changed dramatically. She became withdrawn and submissive. She even severed contact with her family for many years, and that is because Glenys was being abused mentally and physically.
Oh, no.
Neil started to show his real side and would regularly beat Glenys. Glenys endured it for years, and I'm sure most people were kind of suspicious because of, like, her withdrawing and, like, severing ties. But she just didn't tell many people. Like, she wasn't letting people know that it was happening.
Bless her heart.
I know. She only confided in her best friend, Marie Johnson, and she had told her many times that she was fearful that Neil would kill her one day. Which is so freaking sad. Like, could you imagine if I came to you and said that and then was just like, but I'm okay. Like, don't worry about me.
Like, no.
I mean, yeah. I don't know if I would be able to be like, no, I'm not going to not worry about you. I'm going to call the police right now and I'm going to have you move your stuff out. I'm going to come get you and you can come live with me.
Yeah, like, right.
I'm not saying anything against Marie at all. I'm just saying.
No, like, no, we don't know the circumstances. Yeah. Okay. Question, was he abusive to the children?
I don't believe so.
Wow. Okay.
Which could be, I mean, he did other things to them after, like, more like brainwashing kind of against mom, which we'll get to. But clearly maybe that, like, took a lot of time for it to happen. And so I think maybe that's why she endured it, because she was like, I'd rather like I get the brunt of it than and like he'd tell her like, if you ever leave me, I'll kill you. And so I'm sure she was probably just like worried like, well, then what would happen to my kids? And
yeah, 100%.
You go into like protective mama mode, I'm sure. So anyway, okay. So Neil would also brag to people about the things he'd do. Like he would say he tied the old girl to a tree and gave her a good going over and like laugh about it. He sounds like a
no. He's like talking like she's one of the cows.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Ooh.
There was one time that Neil had beat her so badly that Glennis decided she was going to try and complete suicide, but she failed. And Neil, even after all of that, refused to let her go to the hospital to get medical attention.
Do you know what happened?
No, like, I don't know. It's okay. Not stated anywhere what she tried to do.
Oh my gosh.
Her friends also said that she was so consumed with fear that she didn't want to be saved. There was one time that Neil had tied her to a chair and beat her, and another friend had found her and untied her, and she like ran to the bathroom, I think maybe to use the bathroom, I don't know, but then came back immediately and demanded they retie her to the chair because she was so afraid of Neil coming home and finding her like not exactly the way he had left her.
Oh my word. This poor woman.
I know.
Absolutely hate this for her.
Yeah. The pain and discomfort of being tied to a chair was like better than the beating that she would have gotten if he came home and she wasn't there. Glennis stayed because she had nowhere else to go and thought that this is what she deserved, as is the case with a lot of people in abusive relationships. What makes me so sad. And so I'm just going to say this. If you are one of those people, reach out to someone for help, because you are absolutely do not deserve this. You deserve better. So get yourself some help.
And there is a way out. Even though it doesn't feel like it, there is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. In October of 2006, Glennis finally had enough and decided to leave Neil. It's possible that the straw that broke the camel's back was that it is said that her own son, Thomas, was starting to assault and threaten her just before she decided to leave. So,
well, then they obviously were seeing things. So I would say they were being abused in that way.
Well, yeah, that's
just
true.
Just by being exposed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Glennis had kept a diary, and in one entry she wrote, quote, "Turned my heart and soul to stone. You have poisoned the heart and mind of Thomas, and I only hope Matthew escapes. You have no right to have me surrender to you and make me a prisoner. Do you know what it's like to have your own flesh and blood tell you they're going to kill you?" Can you even imagine? I can't.
No. Mm-mm. No, I can't imagine.
Yeah, thankfully we cannot. Neither one of us can. Glennis moved 2 hours away and got a job working at another dairy farm. And she was slowly starting to build a new life for herself. She was always afraid that Neil would find her one day and she wouldn't tell. So she did leave the kids. I mean, they were kind of adults at the time. And she just didn't know how else to get out without just like getting herself out right away. So she wouldn't tell any of her coworkers like her name and her phone number, because she just didn't want anybody to know like anything about her.
She was hiding, essentially.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she also kept her belongings in her car in case she had to leave at a moment's notice.
Where is law enforcement during all of this? Like, friends know, neighbors know, he's bragging to people.
Right. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's literally not stated anywhere that law enforcement was ever called or like reported, but I don't know. It's like different. It's way different. Like researching a case from another country, like I know the places to look.
Right.
Stuff here. Yeah. So I don't know. So I'm giving you what I found literally just in the newspapers and one Australian television show that she was like in for a short period of time. So anyway, so Glennis also met a new man named Chris Sigston. She was starting to see what it was like to have a normal life with a nice man. Chris treated her very well and respected her, and he was taking things very slowly with her because he did not want her to think that she was trying to take advantage of her or trick her, or like, you know, all of a sudden he was going to turn into this monster too, whatever.
Yeah.
So he was taking things very slow. As she started to get her life together, she decided that she wanted to make her separation official, and it is stated that she started divorce proceedings, and I'm not really sure how it works with de facto marriages or even common law marriages that for that matter, but I'm imagining if it's legally recognized as a marriage, then you must have to go through some sort of legal channels to end it as well,
right?
To like separate your assets and
yeah, and then the children and all that stuff,
right? Who were adults at that time, so I don't really know.
Oh,
yeah. So she put a claim in, or she put in a claim for $2 million of their estate. The property and the business they owned was worth $6.897 million. So
$7 million.
Yeah, taking a portion of it. She's not even like asking for half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably figuring like, okay, let the kids have some. Let's like divide this into three or whatever, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
She helped build it and she is entitled to it. So, but in order for them to pay for that, they would have to sell the business and the property.
Oh.
Which infuriates Neil because he doesn't want to do that. And of course, starts like kind of planting seeds in the boys' minds like, there won't be any money left for you guys if we let this go through and blah, 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 blah.
He's telling them that.
Basically, I think. I mean, it's suggested that this is the kind of stuff he was probably telling them.
Mm-hmm.
So not only had he lost control of Glennis because she left, but now she's demanding a separation payment, which would end their business. So he's furious. Mm-hmm. In July of 2007, Matthew contacted his mother. So she's the one that he was like, I hope Matthew escapes. And she really thought like there was still a chance for her to have a relationship with him. Like Thomas, no, because he was already gone. But so he contacts her and asks her to come have dinner with him and to visit with him for a night. Glennis was so excited that Matthew had reached out and that he was still on her side and that he had not been poisoned by Neil to be against her. And she could not wait to see him. So on July 23rd, 2007, Glennis spent some time with her best friend, Marie, in the afternoon, and then she left to see Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
She arrived there around 6 p.m. Chris, her boyfriend, last spoke to her around 7 p.m. that night because I don't know if she had or he had called to like just check in with her, and they were like just finishing up or about to eat dinner or whatever. She was having a great time. She had cooked dinner for them. Matthew was like thanking him because he sent something. I can't remember what it was, but I think it's like a fish or whatever to like cook for dinner. And anyway,
so she's at their home?
She's at wherever Matthew's house is. I don't think Matthew lives with Neil.
Okay.
So she's at Matthew's house or apartment or whatever.
Okay.
Glennis was supposed to return home the next evening to Chris's apartment. And when she did not return, he got nervous. Glennis's brother Richard also thought something was wrong immediately upon hearing that she didn't come back because, well, he was actually concerned before that because their mother was in the hospital recovering. I don't know if she had a heart attack or something, but she was recovering from something and she failed to go visit her when she said she would.
Hmm.
So he was like, she doesn't do that. Like she comes when she says she's coming, she comes.
I'm upset.
Yeah, you will be. Even more so, I think. Chris reported her missing and police went to question Matthew, since he was the last person or last known person to see her. Matthew told him that, again, she arrived at 6 p.m. on the 23rd. She cooked them dinner. She got a call from a male friend who said he was going to pick her up around 10:30 that night, and they were going to go to Melbourne for a few weeks. And police are like, and that's apparently what happened. Like, this male friend did come, got in the car, and she left. Police are like, I don't know about that, but okay, let's ride this out a little bit. But they were like, she hadn't told anybody else about this, these plans.
Melbourne.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Didn't tell Chris. Chris isn't the male friend. What other male friend? She didn't tell Marie. She didn't tell her brother or sister. Like, where is this coming from? She also had left her car at Matthew's house and all of her belongings are in this car. And so they're like, why would she go for a few weeks and not take anything? Like, what's going on? So police, however, have nothing to go on except that they just believe that he's lying and like clearly the stuff's still there. There was no sign of Glennis and they had no evidence that anything had happened to her. So their only option was to just like ride Neil, Matthew, and Thomas real hard until like somebody broke or like they slipped up in some way or whatever. So for months, they couldn't find her or any evidence or anything until 4 months later. 4 months later, when someone at a bar started bragging to a bouncer about killing Glennis. That person was Jeremy Minter. Now, Jeremy Minter was a farmhand at the dairy farm that the Haywards
owned. All right.
And so this was the first break that they needed. So they actually arrested. So because of the connection to the dairy farm, they're like, mm-hmm. okay, well, this is what we need. So they arrest Matthew and Thomas and Jeremy in November of 2007. They still don't know where Glennis is, though, I feel like.
Okay.
When they arrest Neil or go to arrest Neil, he was not going without a fight. He held himself up in a house in Mount Gambier stating that he was armed and was in possession of a bomb.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's a real winner.
Yeah.
After
how do you think that's going to go?
Exactly, right? Like, they're going to take you down eventually, Neil.
Yeah,
like,
one way or the other.
Yeah. So after an eight-hour standoff, they finally get into the home where they found Neil with wounds all over and a slashed throat. He was trying to complete suicide before they could get to him.
Wow.
So that's not evidence of guilt. I don't know what else is, but anyway.
Yeah.
He was actually arraigned while still in his hospital bed recovering.
Yeah. They wasted no time.
They were like right next to him in bed, like, you're staying in jail. So all of their, like, they were all denied bail and they were going to be held in custody until a trial could happen.
Do we know what they were actually charged with? Was it like conspiracy or just murder or?
I actually don't know. I'm assuming murder and conspiracy because it was like multiple people.
Right.
But I don't know. It didn't state that anywhere.
Okay.
Because they also didn't have a body. They just had the word of this guy bragging that he killed Glennis.
And a missing Glennis.
Yes, and a missing Glennis. So after questioning and investigating, they eventually found Glennis's beaten and decaying body in a septic hole on the property of a friend of Neil's.
Oh.
Just over the border in Victoria. And buried next to her was an iron bar that appeared to be the murder weapon. And Glennis was also hogtied.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
That is horrific.
It's awful. It just gets worse as to, like, what actually went down. So just hold on.
Is the friend going to get in trouble? Your britches.
And sorry, usually I say pants, but britches came out this time. So I'll address that.
Okay.
Okay.
Because I have a heart. It's always one of those phenomenal situations where it's like, hey, I killed somebody. Can I hide the body on your property? And, like, you have that level of friendship that you can go to them and ask them something like that. Like,
well, he didn't say that. Okay. Initially. He didn't, like, ask him if he could do that.
Okay, gotcha.
I mean, the friend does find out eventually, but, like,
sure.
He didn't ask him if he could bury a body on his property.
Okay. Because I just, like, would want to be a fly on the wall for that little conversation.
I know. Well,
if it were to happen.
I'd want to be a fly on the wall for half of these conversations, even though if it didn't happen that way, like the way it did happen, like what? Anyway.
Got it. Okay. Weird.
So as people start to come forward, all the pieces start to come together. And one of Neil's hunting partners, Michael Goldsworthy, who, by the way, is only 16. Why is this 50-year-old man hunting with a 16-year-old? I don't know, but whatever. He stated that Neil had asked him at one point if he had any rough or feral friends who would kill Glennis for $3,000 to $5,000.
That's what I'm talking about. How do you feel comfortable saying this, Neil? Mm-hmm. That is weird. Like, that is weird that you were like, your comfort level is that, like,
yes,
high. No. That you could be like, hey, I'd like to kill my wife. No guy?
Yeah. Yeah, it is very strange. But Michael, who's, by the way, like I said, 16. So he's like, he's a kid. But he's like, I didn't pay any attention to it because Neil was always talking about shooting people. Again, why is that something that you just talk about? I don't talk about shooting people, even if I'm really pissed at them. Like,
yeah,
it's not something that enters my mind.
It's not your go-to threat.
No.
Right. No. It's disturbing.
Like, can I throw toilet paper in their front yard? Like,
I think I would be like, I don't want to hunt with you anymore, Neil. You seem a little off.
Well, he did say that he started to keep his distance at some point because right around the time of the murder, which he didn't know it happened. But once he found out that it happened, he's like, oh, right around that time, Neil started to act a little bit more erratic. And he was like telling him that he was convinced his mother, Michael's mother, had convinced Lennis to leave Neil, and I don't know, he started like telling all these stories, and then Michael's mother said that, I think this was still when Glennis was there, she had a litter of puppies and she gave them one, and Neil walked over to their house with blood splatter on his clothes and saying, oh, I just had to kill the puppy. Like,
He killed a puppy.
This is the kind of maniac this man is.
He needs to go down to the hot place.
No kidding. Yeah, I know. When I read that, I was like ready to vomit. I'm like, no. Why? Why? I mean, he killed his wife, but this is like, no. Mm-mm. Anyway, okay. Jeffrey Hancock, he's the owner of the property that Glennis's body was found on. Everyone had wondered why he didn't come forward. So it was like, well, did he not know? Whatever. Anyway, right after the murder, Neil came to him and told him what he had done and that Glennis was in the septic hole. So she was already there by the time he found out that it happened. And he was like, she's in the hole. You need to stay away from it. And Jeffrey was like, you need to move her. I don't want any part of this. Right. Like, why say move her? Like, that's a whole other separate discussion. But yeah, move her. I don't want her on my property. I don't want any part of this, basically. But Neil's like, no, she's staying there and you need to just stay away from the hole. So Jeffrey started to think that Neil had a plan in place to frame him for the murder. So
yeah, I could see that.
Even though he had been interviewed 3 times by police, he wouldn't come forward until they gave him immunity because he was like, I think he's got this in place. Like, I didn't have any part of this because all Neil did was come to me and say, can I borrow your blue trailer to haul some rubbish out of my like property?
Oh.
And that's what he did. So he's like,
but like, once he comes to him and says, it's my wife's body, stay away. The real surefire way to not get framed is to immediately go to the police and be like,
right,
this crazy man just came and told me this.
Right. No, I 100% agree. But clearly, Neil is insane and like
he's scaring everybody. It sounds right. To me. Like they're all intimidated and afraid of him.
100%. I just feel like they're like, man, he can get away with anything. You know, he got away with beating Glennis for 20 years.
Well, and,
like,
true.
So I'm just assuming everyone, like you said, is intimidated by him. Okay. So now after a while, the timeline of events would come together. So here we go. This is what they put together that happened. Matthew invited his mother to come visit him. After they enjoyed dinner, Matthew asked his mom to come with him to check out a property that he was thinking of buying. It happened to be an abandoned, or not abandoned, but it's like it was an empty daycare center, but it was a home, you know, like those home daycare centers.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, can you come check out this house I want to buy, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, sure. So she goes.
This is legit. Like he like legit wanted to have dinner with her. Okay, he lured his mom, got it. Okay. Gross.
When they got there and entered the abandoned property, Neil and Jeremy, that farmhand, were lying in wait in another room, and they came in and surprised her. And then as soon as they entered the room, or at least Dad, Matthew then left the house, just like walked out and drove away, left her there.
Mm-hmm.
Neil began to kick Glennis in the face over and over until she was bleeding. And then the two of them, him and Jeremy, gagged her, hogtied her, and rolled her in a curtain and placed her in a wheelie bin while she was still alive, which they called it a wheelie bin in the newspaper articles. And I was like, what the heck is that? I'm like, is it a trash barrel? Can. It's basically a trash can. Yes.
Wow. That is terrible. Yeah. Cute name, though.
I know. They loaded her in the trailer he had borrowed from Jeffrey and drove off. Neil then dropped Jeremy off at another location where Thomas happened to be waiting at, and he picked Jeremy up. Neil then continued to drive over the border to Victoria to his friend's property where he buried her and the murder weapon in that septic hole. Police believe he may have tortured her for some time before he actually killed her and buried
her. Oh, but, I bet he did.
Oh, I 100% he did. I mean,
sick man.
Yeah, he's very sick. Okay, so due to lack of evidence, charges against Thomas were eventually dropped because they had no evidence that he was there when anything happened. He just picked up Jeremy at some place. So they had to drop the charges against him. Matthew, Jeremy, and Neil were held until trial. On June 6, 2009, Neil was found dead in the bathroom of his jail cell. His cellmate had woke up at 3 a.m. to use the bathroom. Which, by the way, it's their own personal bathroom in their jail.
I was just going to say, that's like a whole thing about jails. You poop right beside your bed.
No, there was like a bathroom with a shower, like in their jail, their own personal. I'm like, they have nice jails in Australia. I should have looked that up. I didn't. But so he said he, when he woke up to go to the bathroom, when he got up, he saw what looked like the outline of Neil's body in his bed, and his sleep apnea machine was like the tube was like going into the bed and running. So he was just like, okay, Neil's still asleep. Then he entered the bathroom and he saw feet underneath the shower curtain. And when he opened it, he saw Neil hanging with a bed sheet and red underpants covering his face. So he had completed suicide and, in my opinion, completely took the coward's way out.
Mm-hmm.
Which, coincidentally, the month before, because he had tried to complete suicide before he even was arrested.
Right.
Well, apparently the month before this happened, he had actually convinced like the jail workers or whatever, like officers and guards and whatever, that he was not a suicide risk. So they stopped like keeping him on watch.
Okay.
So Matthew and Jeremy went to trial in March of 2010. It was a 7-week trial. I don't know if it was like together or not, but I'm assuming it was. And the two were convicted of murder, and they were given a mandatory life sentence with a 23-year non-parole sentence, which basically just means that's the minimum amount they're going to be in prison.
Right.
During his trial, Matthew did admit to lying to his mom about coming to visit. However, he said that his father had been begging him to get his mom to come and meet with him, but she wouldn't, clearly, because he had been beating her for all those years, she wouldn't come meet with him just to talk about the dispute over the estate. And he said after the meeting, Neil had told him that his mother had gone to Melbourne for a few days. And then after a few days, Neil admitted to Matthew that his mother was dead, that they had gotten into an argument about the money and he killed her. So his story is that he did lure her there, but it was just so that she would talk to Neil about the stuff.
But Neil had to bring somebody else who was a farmhand with him to talk to his wife?
Yeah. So I thought of that too. And I was like, unless Jeremy didn't come out at first, like, and Neil was the only one that came out of the room initially. Mm-hmm. And so then Matthew then left and didn't even know Jeremy was there. That's one option. And there are lots of people that out there, including, I think in the interview was with Chris, her boyfriend, that he's like, it is possible that Matthew didn't know that his dad intended to kill. It's possible. But even he said, but then like, why would he just like up and leave the house knowing that his mom had been beaten for however many years? Like,
and was terrified of his father.
Right. Exactly. So anyway, I don't know. I don't really know what the truth is. Either way, he was convicted and all of his like appeals have been denied and he's in prison. But, and like you said, Jeremy was there, but maybe he didn't know. But anyways, that is it. That is all I have on the case of Glennis Hayward.
Wow. And
the fact that her own son lured her to her death.
I mean, in my opinion, I think they all were fully aware, even Thomas.
Oh, Thomas 100% was aware. There's no reason why he would have been at that property to pick Jeremy up. That, you know, like, that's the only reason. But there was, like, nothing else that linked him there.
I don't think the friend knew, like, the property that her body was left on. I don't think he knew.
No, I don't think so either. I think he found out, like he said, after the fact and was like, no, I don't want a part of this. But Neil was like, suck it up, basically.
Yeah. And I mean, I like to give him a hard time for not calling police right away. But like, murderers are scary.
Yeah. Yeah. You murdered your wife. So what would you do to me if I was
just
police?
Telling me?
Right. Like, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like super open about it. Like, yeah, I killed my wife and she's on your property. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
Want to be next? Yeah. Like, that's scary.
Yeah, no kidding.
But I just feel like somebody could have stepped in so much earlier and helped this woman.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Her own sons could have helped her. I mean, they were kids. It is what it is. But like, it's just, that's sad.
Yeah.
That's a sad case.
It is. It is. And Trish went to school with Thomas.
Oh, that's right. What did she say about him?
Nothing. Anything really, except that I don't even know if I should say that on the pod, what she said.
Oh, okay. That's okay. Yeah. You can tell me later.
Yeah.
Wow, interesting. Well, thank you, Trish, for trusting us with Glynis's story, and thank you for, you know, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
This domestic abuse happens. It very rarely, if ever, de-escalates.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always going to be bad. It's always going to get worse. And people not getting help or having resources to help themselves is so frustrating and sad. Mm-hmm. And it just, we hate it.
Yep.
And we're here for you, and we believe in you, and know for a fact that there are resources that we are happy to give you.
Yes.
If you want
to reach out to us, go
right
ahead.
We will point you in the right direction of somebody or, you know, organization or something.
Mm-hmm.
You're not alone, and we love you. And we love Glynis, and I wish somebody would have had the ability to do that for her before this happened. So
right.
And she was getting her life like on track and independent, and it just sucks.
Oh, in the interview. So the show was called Inside Crime, and it's, I believe it's an Australian. It's on Prime Video, actually.
Yeah.
And they did like, I don't know if this is how this typical episode is, but it was like three different stories in one like thing. And they just talk about like whatever inside the crime. But, Chris, the boyfriend, I think they were only together 3 or 4 months. And he said that right before she left, he told her he loved her for the first time. And he was so glad that he did, because at least she knew like that he loved her before she did.
Oh, that's upsetting and sweet.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have to watch that spruced up on my Aussie accent. I know I disappointed Trish. So sorry about that. Well, thank you very much for that case. That's very sad. I hate it. I hate everything about it. He also killed a puppy. Can't ever be here for you. And it sounds to me like he is in the hot place.
Yep. Definitely.
So bye. Bye, Neil. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. Happy Monday. We sure do appreciate you and love you, and are always here for you every Monday. So come back and see us. Come find us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Patreon, if you want more of it. We're just trucking through the year. Here we go. Well into March, and you know, spring's coming. Is March spring? Not yet, right?
Yeah, I think that, or is it April? I don't remember. I have no idea. But our 4-year anniversary will be coming up too.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. Love that for us. Ooh, maybe we'll do something fun. Stay tuned, my guys. Okay. So yes, we love you. Thank you so much. And always remember, the world is scary. People suck. Hide in your closet.